Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Today is 22nd of November 2008. We are in our regular meditation session Friday night. May we begin our night by singing a song, "I Have Arrived, I Am Home." Song number 4. Turn to song number 4. I have arrived, I am home, in the here and in the now. I have arrived, I am home, in the here and in the now. I am solid, I am free, I am solid, I am free. In the ultimate I dwell, in the ultimate I dwell. I have arrived, I am home, and in the now. I have arrived, I am home, in the here and in the now. I am solid, I am free, I am solid, I am free. In the ultimate I dwell, in the ultimate I dwell. So, how are you? Good? I'm okay. We just back from India last Saturday night, and we are very well during the trip. And even when we come back, there are a lot of things we need to recover, but everything slowly back on the track. This year, when I come back to India to visit the Buddha sites, we have been to the 4 important holy places. That is the Lumbini Garden in Nepal. That is the Buddha's birthplace. We have visited Bodhgaya, where the Buddha enlightenment. We have visited the Sanat, where the Buddha gave his first lecture. The Four Noble Truths is his first Dhamma talk to the first 5 sermons. And we have visited Kushinaga, where the Buddha entered the Nirvana. That means the Buddha passed away. In Buddhism, we call the 4 important Buddhist sites. Besides that, we have visited the first monastery of the Buddha, that is the Bamboo Forest Monastery. We have visited Kritika, that is the mountain where the Buddha liked it so much. When he arrived, and he stayed on that mountain to give lots of important Dhamma talks. And Ajetta Grove, you have seen, you have read in the discourse. Once I have heard this word given by the Buddha when the Buddha at the Jetta Grove, etc. And every time when we back to Indira like that, we feel very touching. Even though India is the place very difficult to go. If you don't have a good health condition, also it is a problem for you too. But all of that, they are not the main obstacles to prevent us with our sincerely respect to the holy places, with our dream that we're able to visit the place like that, and we feel very worth. And I hope and I believe all the Sangha in the group with the 50 members, we are very happy, very touched, and justify 18 days in India. I have brought back for you some Bodhi leaves and prayer beads. So if you wish to receive that, I have available here. And you can, this is a gift from us to all of you. So if you like, you can take the Bodhi leaf or the prayer bead. Before I come up here, I have talked to a very young boy. And this evening, when I call him out and check his homework, and suddenly I saw that he has dirty hands. And I asked him whether he washed them or not. And he said, yes, he have washed. But the hands are very dirty. So I'm sure he does not wash his hands. And I used to taught them that they have to wash their hands before they eat. And today, because I am busy, so I did not join the dinner with them. So I came downstairs. I came to the to see them late. So the boy say that he washed the hands. I bring out a bowl of water, and I put his hands and I wash them. And the dirty the water get dirty. And I have thought, I asked the boy to drink the water. And he said, no, dirty. I say, can you drink the water before I wash your hands? He said, yes. I asked him, why? He said, because the water is clean, so you can drink. But once the water gets dirty, you're unable to drink. I say to him, same thing. Yourself or each of us is like the clean water. You can use the water or you can use the body. But once the water is yet dirty, then you are unable to drink, you are unable to use. The bar as a person have been lied to someone, especially when you are young. And you learn to speak untrue things. And your speech, your body will be dirty like the water. It's useless. And when you have to learn to be honest, to be truthful. When you are doing some mistake, and if you honestly speak out your mistake, and that's more acceptable than you do not accept what you have done. And as a young person, you do not learn to lie. Lying is something very bad. And once the same as the water, once it's clean, dirty, you cannot do anything with this water. The only thing you do is dump it. So if you have the clean body, that means you have, I asked him, what do you do when you got dirty hands? He say, wash them. I asked him, what do you do when you get dirty clothes? Wash them. What do you do when you get dirty body? Wash them. I say, same thing. When you have done something wrong, you must apologize. You must confess. You must say sorry. You must recognize what you have done wrong. And you get that body clean. And once you clean, you get, when you clean and your body is no more dirty, your body is clean again. And the bowl contains the dirty water you cannot use before you want to use it again. You must wash the bowl. You must clean the bowl before you can reuse it. I say same thing. The body, the mind, the speech, if you have done something wrong, you must learn how to clean. And this is what you are here for. You're here to learn to be a good person. And I asked him, I think your mom teach you better than me. And after 2 minutes, 1 minute, and he said, no, Thai and my mom taught me the same. I said, we taught you to be good, but you don't do good. And there are something we never teach, but you learn from it, and that makes us very sad. That makes us very disappointed. So as a little kid, you have to be honest. Let's suppose if you break the glass, and I ask, who break the glass? And I will be more happy to see that you raise your hand and you say, dear Thai, I have break the glass. It's better than say, no, I didn't do it. Someone else. And he say, how come that person done something wrong, but they never in trouble? I said, how do you know they are not in trouble? I say, okay, let's say if they are not in trouble, then you learn from that or what? So do not learn from that. As a practitioner, we always focus to good things in order to learn. And if you know how to name that is bad, then why you learn? So that's why in Buddhism, when you come to the practice, and the first, the very basic, the fundamental practice in Buddhism is taking refuge. Taking refuge in the Buddha, in the Dharma, in the Sangha, and we call triple gems. So when you bow to the Buddha, you bow three times. Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. We see each other, we used to join our hands and bow. Learn that and remember that. So when you come to the practice center, you meet a monk, you meet a nun, or you meet any your practitioners, your friends, join your hands and bow, because that is the practice. We bow like that in order to bow to ourselves and to that person, the Buddha to be. And the bowing like that is the Dharma. And we bring the joyfulness to each other, that is the Sangha. Because Buddha is the person who awakes. Dharma is the practice that makes you become beautiful. Dharma is the way that makes you become more better. Sangha means when you're able to look at each other, when you're able to talk to each other, you can communicate to each other. That is the Sangha. So in Vietnamese, we could use to say, we mean to come back. E mean take refuge. We mean coming back and take refuge. Tam Bảo, it means the three jewels, the three gems. And what are the three gems in Buddhism? Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Faith is important in all religions. Because faith is the foundation, the concrete, the encouragement for you on the path of the practice. If you have no faith, you're unable to do anything. Is that correct? We want to go to India, but we have no faith that you're able to do it, you're able to make it. And then you come there, the environment, the pollution make you sick easily. But because you have a strong faith in you, then you overcome, you overwhelm all of that. So remember, in Buddhism, faith is the conduit. It is the fruit of the practice. Faith is the fruit of the practice. Faith is not blind faith. It's not a leap. It's like you do not listen to something and then you believe right away. And before you become faith, you must learn, listen, reflect, and practice. And once you practice, why you practice? Because now, after you have thought about that, after you thinking about that, you are sure this is something can bring you to the good destination. And then maybe at first we learn the Buddha from a book, a historical person. You learn Dhamma means you listen to a talk. You read some lectures, you read some information about Buddhism, and that's called Dhamma. A Sangha is a community you visit once a week. But if you continue to practice, then the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha reveal themselves fully in you. What is the Buddha? Buddha means the person who awake. So when we take refuge in the Buddha, it also means we take refuge, the Buddha, within us. We have the capacity to practice and to do the same as the Buddha. Do you know what is the first thing the Buddha said after his enlightenment? Right under Bodhi tree, after 49 days of meditation and his enlightenment. And the first thing he said, wonderful, how wonderful. Now I have learned every single person, they have the Buddha's nature. They're able to attain the enlightenment as the same as I did. So Buddha is not the only one person. Buddha is not the unique. But every one of us can do that. We have the capacity of living in the awakening. In the awakening way. So the Dharma able to help us to choose what is the right way to do in order to make our life much better, In Buddhism, we used to say we have 84,000 Dhamma doors. That means 84,000 ways to practice. Then choose the way that appropriate for your own situation. For example, you like meditation. Then every day, 50 minutes. Because that meditation is the door, the Dhamma, your Dhamma door. You fit with that. And every day when you sit like that, it makes yourself calm, relaxed. And you're able to let go a lot of anxiety and sorrows for that day. So the benefit of taking refuge in the Dhamma is what? Taking the refuge in the way that helps you. Buddha is the historical person who was born 624 BC. He was the prince. He became a monk and practiced and became the Buddha. Yes, that is only a historical Buddha. But there is a Buddha live within us strongly. And that is our nature, the Buddha's nature, the nature of living in awakening way. Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha. Very simple way to explain about that. But further than that, more than that, Dhamma means the way that helps you to be happy. So Dhamma, you can touch Dhamma everywhere. For example, if you see the cloud, you can see the cloud is the Dhamma. Because you can learn how to be free and liberation like the cloud. When you see the falling leaf is also a Dhamma because you can learn the lecture of letting go. You see a dead flower, the dead flower, also a Dhamma because the dead flower giving you a lecture of impermanence of life. Every morning when you open the newspaper, you read the accident, the announcement of death. Those are all Dhammas because it helps you to see the impermanence of life. And when you can see that impermanent, you go back and appreciate and live deeply the day you have for yourself and for your loved one. Sangha is the community that lives in harmony and awareness. Your teacher, your friends, your brother, your sister, they are all the elements of the Sangha. The path that you practice walking meditation every day, that is also your Sangha. Anything that supports you in your daily life, they are your Sangha. Sangha are the fourfold community. The community of monks, community of nuns, of laymen, of laywomen. The Buddha have four noble Sangha. Monks, nuns, laymen, laywomen. In the community of the Holy Sangha, they have four groups. But do not think that person is holy and we are not. The holiness is within us. Within me, within you, within our Sangha, within our community. Our family is also a Sangha. What is the holy family? Doesn't mean they have lots of money. They live in a very luxury material life. No, sometimes very suffer. The holy family is that family have no argument. That is the holy family. The holy family is we able to help each other. The holy community is when we meet each other, we still can shake hands. We able to say hi, say hello to each other. We still able to join our hands and bow to each other. We don't turn away when we see that person on the other end. Sometimes we go into the church, to a temple, but we never want to sit next to that person. We never want to talk to that person because we feel that they are not worth for us to talk. Right when you come to the Sangha, within yourself you have no harmonious at all. How can you call a Sangha? In Chinese translation for the word Sangha, very strong, harmony community. No harmony, you are not allowed to call yourself a Sangha. So when you are able to practice, in the Buddha, there is Dhamma, there is Sangha, because Dhamma is the way to make you become the Sangha, to turn you into the Buddha. Because the Buddha have to follow, to practice the Dhamma in order to become the Buddha. Sometimes you do not need to become a monk, become a preacher. You sit here every Friday night in order to call you are the teacher. But we give Dhamma talk in every minute of life. When we go home, we need to give Dhamma talk. How? Not only by words, but sometimes by action. Sometimes by the way we look, by the way we walk. You come to the community. The way you walk from the door to the meditation hall. The way you join your hands, the way you bow down, the way you sit down, it's a beautiful Dhamma talk for newcomers. They come here, they're so lost, they don't know what to do. So they slowly look around to see what people do. So because we come here a lot, for many years, so we walk slowly, gently, because every single step that we walk gently, that means we support the meditation session. We come late, there's no rush. We walk slowly to the hall. Because meditation doesn't mean when you sit in order to call meditation. While you walk from the stairway up to here, it's already meditation. You meditate right at the door. You don't meditate once you sit down. You see, when you hold up the stick, meditation, you don't have to hit the bell so big, so loud. You see, I just remove like this, I'm able to make the sound of the bell beautifully. So we're able to apply the meaning of the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha in our daily life. So taking refuge in the Buddha, in the Dhamma, and the Sangha doesn't mean from that moment we become the member. We have the right to vote. We have the right to check the deposit book. We have the right to check their financial situation. That's not enough. But we have to see the deeper meaning of becoming the student of the Buddha. To become the member of the congregation is only the community work. But we have to become the student of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So therefore, the ceremony to taking refuge is very important. Why? Because right the moment you knee down and you make the vow, I take refuge in the Buddha, the one who shows me the way in this life. Right in that moment, you light up the Buddha light within you. You inform. You grant opening the Buddha in you. So why people, if they finish the construction of the building, they just open, but why they need the grand opening ceremony? To inform, to make it remark, that day is a special day. So since that place becomes something special. When they build up a statue of someone, after build up, they must cover a cloth. And right at the moment of opening ceremony, the main person come and take off that cloth out of that statue. That statue become important. Spiritual. So the ceremony of taking refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, important. And then we say it, I take refuge in the Buddha, the one who shows me the way in this life. I take refuge in the Dharma, the way of understanding and love. Because the Dharma able to end suffering in us, able to help us to transform the anxiety, the sorrows within us. Because now we light up the Buddha awakening. We know where to go on the weekends, what to do when we have free time. In the past, when we are free, we go to casino. When we have lot of money, we don't know what to do. We use for alcohol, we use for drugs. But now, we don't do that. We choose the right Dharma. Because Dharma can be wrong Dharma and right Dharma. The wrong Dharma is bringing you to darker and darker every day. But the right Dharma, the right way. Dharma means the way. So the wrong way brings you to the wrong destination, wrong place. The right way brings us to the right path. That's why the Buddha said, Eight Noble Paths, the eight ways that bring us to the right. If we have the right view, of course, we have the right speech, the right thought, the right action. So when your beginning steps have done right, and the next step will be right. Yesterday morning, when I came down and I learned that my youngest novice does not wear clothes properly to school. Because every morning I have to check him, like make sure he wear thermal, he wear warm, he wear nice and neat. But because I came, you know, I came late and he did not change properly. And it's almost time to school. I asked him to come back and change. He looked at me, he looked at the clock. He wanted to tell me it's late. He said, Do I have to take all this off and change? I said, yes. And while he changed, I talked to him. I say, see, this is what you have to learn. If you know how you have learned the procedure already, so why don't you do right at the very beginning? Why are you so lazy? You don't do right, and now you lose lots of your time to take off your clothes and you change and you do everything from the beginning again. You see what I mean by that? So why don't you do right at the very beginning? You have learned it. You know what I want. Then why don't you do right at first? You waste your time to change again. So when you take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, the beneficial is from that moment, from the moment you take refuge in the Dharma, you select, and then you are very sure what to do, what path to take. And when you take refuge in the Sangha, it's the community of the practice that always encourages you and makes you more happy and more enjoyable. If by accident you take refuge in the wrong community, like the community of the clubs, the community of doing wrong things, then you will ruin up your life. So there are community, there are the ways. Against the right way, against the right community. So it is important for a Buddhist practitioner taking refuge in the Buddha, in the Dharma, in the Sangha. When we were in India, and I announced that when we arrived to Buddha Gaya, that means the place where the Buddha enlightened, and we will have a ceremony of precept recitation. We will do the precept recitation right at the foot of the Bodhi tree. And during this ceremony, if anyone who wishes to take refuge in the Triple Gem and receive the 5 mindfulness trainings, we will do the ceremony. And in our Sangha, there are 10 of them. Take refuge in the Triple Gem, right at the foot of the Bodhi tree. And when I join my hands, I say, dear Lord Buddha, we are the student of yours. Today, we have made our dream to come and visit the place where more than 2,000 years ago, you have sat and became the enlightened one. Your teaching spread out widely every day, and we very fortunate to learn your teaching, and today we come back here to visit, and we also taking refuge right at this place. May you be here with us, bless us, support us, hold our hands, and walk with us along in our daily life. And one day, we cry a lot on the first day when we arrive at Bogaya. Why we cry? Every one of us, we have different answer. But of course, those are all the happy tears. The Sangha is our community. When you practice with the Sangha, it gives you a lot of support. For example, if you are home, you are unable to sit this long. But when you come to Friday class, you sit like 1.5 hours, no problem. Even a little bit pain, but you do your best. If at home you already lie down,
So be with the Sangha, be with the community, lot of support. Vietnamese people used to say, if the tiger walk alone in the city, the tiger can be died by the human. A practitioner, detach yourself from the community, you are easily to die by the Mara. What are the Mara? The ghost of laziness, the ghost of losing yourself. There are a lot of things that attract us. For instance, when we were in India, everybody focused on the practice. Walking meditation, sitting meditation, because in India, you don't see television. You don't see any coffee shop. Very rare. You don't see club, you don't see like any place that you're able to lose yourself. Because India is a very spiritual country. People very strong in the practice. So after 18 days in India, we went to Thailand for 4 days. Only 4 days. But, you know, everybody is losing themselves because lots of shopping, lot of lights, lot of places. And some people, they share very honestly. They say, Thai, 18 days in India, lot of difficulties, so hot, you know, everything. But I feel so calm, so relaxed, so practiced. But when I come to Thailand, I don't have that feeling anymore. Not because of Thailand, okay? Just because ourselves. We are not strong enough in the practice. We very easy to get attracted by outside. So therefore, coming back to our real home is important. So the song that I have arrived, I am home, that we just sang, just few words, but very deep. You have to sing that song. You have to live with every single word in that song. And you can see how important it is. I have arrived. I am home. Where? In the here and in the now. In the ultimate that I draw. You dwell in the ultimate. You dwell yourself in the practice and you are safe. When we are in our mother's womb, we felt secure. We have been protected from the heat, from the cold, from hunger and other difficulties. To seek for refuge, it means to look for a place like that, the place where we feel safe. We take refuge in the Buddha, then the Dhamma and the Sangha, safe place. Because these places able to make us more happy, more peace, and more joy. So let's say if I don't take refuge in the Triple Gem since I'm 7, I'm not here in this moment. And because I was nourished by the community, by the Sangha, and every day they nourish me by the Dharma. And also now, when I grow up, I swim in the Dharma. And I am able to make me healthier, stronger, happier. And I am able to bring that to my students, especially the young people. You have no faith, you are unable to do that. You have no faith that this way, this path, able to make you more happy. You won't. You're unable to walk to the end. You don't have a faith that this Dhamma, this way, this path, able to end your suffering. You never last long. You are very easy to give up. Yesterday, there was a young man, very stressful. He came to the temple. He cried a lot. And I have to sit with him for hours just to hold his hand, to support him by my silent Dhamma talk. And after he cried and he feel relief. And I start to talk to him. But I am sure that I have talked to him at the first moment, because Dhamma, sometimes you don't have to talk. You just be there for that person. You already practice the Dhamma. Because any way that make people happy, relief, that is the Dhamma. So when you come home, sometimes you look at your wife's face, or your husband's face, or your mother or your father, you realize what's wrong with them, and then you can able to give them your support by talking or by silence. That is the way of love, the way of understanding. You understand they're in difficulty situation, that's why you can support them. You can give them your love, your support by doing something for them. Very important and very reality. Triple gems are not the statue of the Buddha. Buddha is not only the statue of the Buddha. Dhamma is not only books, scriptures. Sangha is not only the monk. But these three natures strongly within each of us. And if we're able to cultivate that each day, and you can see our life will change. There was a lady who called me today from far away, and she said, "Thai, I have a very wrong thinking in my mind. And even though when I doing chanting, recite the Buddha's name, it still doesn't work." I say, "No, it's work, but not yet. Because you have a very strong habit of wrong thinking already. And if you don't sit there and doing this, enable to calm your body and your mind down, you will stand up and do what your mind tells you to do, and that creates more problems. So we have to have a faith in us. And remember, it is not a blind faith. In Buddhism, faith is not a leap. Faith is not blind. Faith is a practice. Don't try to jump, but you never know who is going to catch you or not. We have to reflect what we have learned. And once you have learned, you reflect, then the faith becomes something. Because when you have a strong faith in you, automatically your practice come out naturally. And the practice help and make your faith more stronger. So one practice. When we see each other, the beautiful way is join hands and bow to each other. Even though we know each other so well,
You see that every morning when we see each other, we say, Namo Buddhaya. How are you this morning? Every day we say that. When I see the Master, every time when I see him, I also do the first, if that is the first, the beginning of the day, and that is the first time I see him on that day, I also do the same. Because that is the practice. And when we're able to do that, we can see a lot of harmony in the community. So our small family, they are a small Sangha. So it is important that we are able to take refuge the Buddha, in the Buddha, in the Dharma, in the Sangha. Bring a lot of beneficials. A lot of beautiful things. One day, the Buddha came and visited an illness monk. He's very sick. And he asked that monk, how come nobody here to take care for you? And he joined his hands and he said, Dear Buddha, my brothers, they went out to arm the food. So because I'm sick so long, so they don't have time to take care for me anymore. So the Buddha and Ananda, attendant of the Buddha, they both washed this monk. They doing some medicine for this monk. They give him some food. And the Buddha wait until all the monks come back to the temple. And he call all the monks come to him and he say, Friends, if we do not look after the order, who will look after us? When you look after at each other, you are looking after the Buddha. Same thing. The big brother look after the younger brother. Look after the younger brother or younger sister of yours is the same as you look after your parents. Some of my elder students, they are beautiful. They help Thai to take care for their younger brothers. Every morning after meditation, he came downstairs and make breakfast on behalf of Thai. If they are not home, then Thai have to do it. So they come downstairs, they make breakfast for their younger brother, and they sit and eat with their younger brother. He look after his younger brothers the same as he looked after Thai. So the Buddha gave a beautiful lecture. When you able, if you are not look after the other, who will look after us? When you look after each other, you are looking after the Buddha. So when you able to do the Dharma, to follow the Dharma, and you make your Sangha happy, harmony, you are the Buddha. So the Buddha is the person who has the capacity to practice the Dharma and live harmony in the Sangha. So in one, they contain the other two. Dharma, when you have the Dharma, you have the capacity of helping your mom to clean up the house after school. You help your wife to clean up the house after work. You help your wife to wash the dishes after dinner. That is Dharma. You don't have to do anything big. You don't have to give lecture. Dharma is like that. When you walk into the temple, you see a piece of garbage. Pick that garbage up. Put in the trash. That is the Dharma. Because Dharma means you have the way to make yourself happy and your community happy. So the holiness is also in you, in me, and in the Sangha. The
the holy family is when that family can look at each other, can sit together and eat. The holy family doesn't mean turn on the TV. The wife, one plate. The husband, one plate. The children, one plate. We all sit together and facing to the television. We eat with television. We have no time to enjoy the presence of each other. That is not the Sangha. That is not the way. That way only bring more suffering. Thank you for your time, for your listening, and I hope that you'll be well and happy and practice. I'm very happy to see you every Friday because your presence supports me a lot. Your presence also supports the others. Thank you. I am sorry that we unable to make the Mindfulness Day tomorrow because I have a funeral in the state that I have to attend because one of the late is the mother of one of the monk in Plum Village. His mother passed away in Seattle, and he had to fly from France back to Seattle. And if I learned this, he asked me to come to help, to support. So I will have a mindfulness day with them tomorrow in Seattle. The program tomorrow at the funeral is walking meditation, sitting meditation, Dhamma talk, and then prayer. We do that kind of funeral. It's a mindfulness day. Using the funeral as a mindfulness day. When you hear the sound of the bell, relax your mind and allow the sound of the bell, like the voice of Jesus, like the voice of the Buddha.